Okay, so we're just going to start the class. We're just going to do a sound check one more time, just due to the problems that we're having intermittently. Not sure where these problems are coming from, but hopefully we resolve them now. And once you hear the audio, please type in audio okay. And we'll just pick up from where we left off. Again, we're just going to commence the sound check one more time. Once you hear the audio is okay, please type in audio okay. Actually, the best thing we should do this time is have a confirmation. You could type into the screen audio okay and then put a 3 afterwards. So write audio okay 3 if the sound has improved. Continue with our classes today in the philosophy of Hanukkah. We'll just take a 30-minute class, maybe go a little bit longer. We'll have a question and answer session afterwards. For the meantime, right now, we'll just resume and ask you to type in audio okay 3 if you see the audio has improved. Okay, MMA in Israel. Is the audio broken up or is it smooth and coming through all right? Okay, MMA in Israel, thank you. Bernie in D.C., do me a favor, just type in, let me know if the audio is okay, if it's smooth now or if it's still being broken up. And again to everybody else as you're signing back on, please type in audio okay 3 if the audio has improved. And we'll pick up from where we were just discussing. Again, once you join the class again, please type in audio okay 3. Let us know if the sound has improved. We had rebooted our system here just to make sure that there was no problem. Thanks, Bernie DC. Ronnie in New York, thank you. Bernie and Ronnie, is the sound smooth now or is it still being broken up as it was before? And if anybody else wants to just comment on if the sound is good now, that'd be greatly appreciated. Tikva, thank you. Lee in New York, thank you. I'm assuming that all of you mean that the audio is now not being broken up. It's a nice smooth stream. So we just want to confirm that it's now a not broken up sound. And once you come back into the room and you hear, okay, Lee, thank you. Bernie, thank you. Okay, let's just wait a few more moments, just to wait for everybody else to come back into the room. And once everybody's come back, just please type in audio okay 3. Let us know that the sound is smooth now. Tikva, thank you. Lee, thank you. Okay, Rebel Crim in Maryland seems to be still hearing double. Okay, I would suggest leave the room and then come back in, or maybe even actually close out your entire internet browser and then come back into the room and sign on again. And again to everybody else, once you sign on again, please refresh your browser and just type in the words audio OK3. Let us know that you're hearing a continuous smooth stream now. Ronnie, we're broadcasting from New York. Tippa, Kansas, thank you. And while you're waiting, you have the question. So hopefully you'll be thinking about the question we just started with. We'll repeat it again, and we'll paste the actual text again on screen in just a moment. We'll wait for everybody else to come back into the room. No problem, Ronnie. Glad you could join us today. And again, once everybody else joins and comes back into the room, please type in audio OK3. Let us know that the sound is coming through smooth now. MMA in Israel, where are you listening in from? What part of Israel are you in? Elaine, thank you. Rudy, thank you. And everybody else, once you join the class, once again, please type in audio okay, and we'll resume. Actually, type in audio OK3. Let us know that the audio is now smooth and not being broken up intermittently like it was before. Mali Michmas, Of course, the rabbi I know who had a yeshiva up there. Unfortunately, because of the Intifada, they had to leave. Okay, Rudy's joining us from Romania. Nice to see you, Rudy. Yes, I'm familiar with Mali Michmas, MMA. And again, as everybody joins back to the class, please type in audio OK3. That's right, MMA. Rev Chait. And again, as everybody joins the class, please type in audio OK3. Let us know that the audio is coming through fine now. Lee in New York, you're saying it's a smooth audio stream now. You were having problems earlier, and you see a distinct difference now. This is for Lee in New York. And again, we just wait a few more moments for everybody else to rejoin. And we're just going to pick up with the question for Rav Huna in the Gemara on Shabbos dealing with Hanukkah lights and Shabbos lights. And again, you can think about the problem. The question is why Rav Huna says that if a person is careful with these lights, according to Rashi's explanation, that this will beget wise sons. What's the relationship between the two? So think about that question, because that's where we're picking up from. Okay, Lee, thank you. And again, as everybody else... Sorry to be repetitive, but we just want to confirm that everybody is hearing the audio stream clearly now. So we're asking, once you re-enter the room, to please type in audio okay and number 3. That'll confirm to us here that the audio has now been, the problem has been addressed. Okay, Lee, thank you. Feldman 6, okay, thank you. Elisheva in Florida, thank you. Okay, and what we're asking for is for you to confirm, when you write in audio OK3, that you're confirming that it's not broken up sound anymore and it's smooth. So once you re-enter the room and you hear the audio stream is smooth now, please type in audio OK3. And again, if you start seeing any type of intermittent problem, please type it on the screen so this way we know right away. And we can correct it. But for now, it looks like everything is all right. And again, we just wait a few more moments. Wait for everybody else to come back into the classroom. Thank you, Elisheva. All right, Kenneth in Tennessee, do us a favor, just type in audio okay. Let us know that you're picking up a uninterrupted stream right now. We had little problems earlier. We just want to make sure that everybody can hear the sound clearly now. Patrick in Netherlands, Josie PS, why don't you just type in audio okay? Let us know you're hearing the sound fine. Steve in Canada, Sivan in Georgia, same to you. Just type in that. Okay, so let's commence where we left off. So the question we have right now that I want everybody to think about is, what is the relationship between lighting candles, but specifically of Shabbos and Hanukkah, and how is that going to beget wise children? So that's the question we have right now. I want you to think about it, and if you have a possibility, type it into the window. And I'd like to hear your possibilities on that. I mean, there's many things that the Torah can, or Rav Huna, I should say, might suggest that would be that which begets wise children. And lighting candles seems to be a very simple, innocuous type of an activity. It doesn't seem to really be indicative of a person who's brilliant or has what's really necessary to produce wise children. So why are these two things, according to Rashi's explanation of Rav Huna, the actual key factors in terms of producing wise children? Whenever the rabbis make a statement, we have to think into it clearly. They're not wasting their breath on that which is like a non-important matter. And again, we were talking about Rashi's commentary, and he says that, what does Rav Huna mean that when you are careful with lights that you'll have children that are wise? It means to say the lights of Shabbos and the lights of Hanukkah. So if a person's careful lighting his Sabbath candles and his Hanukkah candles, then he's going to have children that are wise. So what would be the first question you'd ask on Rashi? Okay, Feldman 6, what exactly do you mean? How is it a first step? Rivka in New York is saying, it's a personal type of action that is done in a family setting where children will ask questions. Well, that's true, but you could say that the Passover Seder would be even better, because that's a real family setting which goes on for hours. MMA in Israel is writing, the understanding and recognition of the difference between Kodesh and Chol. Which one is Kodesh and which one is Chol? And why would you say that knowledge of Kodesh and Chol, meaning what's sanctified and what's mundane? So just MMA in Israel, if you want to just elaborate on that. Elaine is suggesting it produces obedience and a diligent child that is willing to obey instruction. Well, it doesn't say the child is doing this, Elaine. It means to say that the parent is doing this activity. All right, looks like Kenneth is still having some problems with the audio. Is everybody else having problems with the audio, or is it a smooth stream right now? And again, if you're just signing on, just please type in audio okay, only if you're having a smooth audio stream. Just want to make sure that we've taken care of what we could from our end. But again, the question is, how would you approach the question? Again, as a rabbi said years ago, having the right question is 90% of the answer. Thanks, Lee. Okay, Feldman is saying, a child sees the flames. It is a step in the child's learning to see the light. Well, that's very euphemistic, but we're talking about concrete here, that the actual lighting of these two areas is going to produce the child that is wise. So what you really should be doing is thinking about, the first step is to isolate what are the two ingredients, according to Rashi, that will produce wise children. Ronnie is suggesting that if the parents light the candles, then that fosters the Jewish culture that the child will inherit. Okay. But perhaps there's more. I mean, what about learning Torah with your child? It would seem to be if you sit down and you learn Torah with your child, that would be a surefire way to have wise children. Tikva is writing that it will, by the parents' lighting, it shows obedience and reverence to Hashem, and sets an example for the children. MMA in Israel is suggesting that Kodesh is, by definition, something that is separate. The ability to understand this difference requires a degree of wisdom. Okay? Rivka in New York is saying, what is in a child witnessing a parent lighting the candles that creates wisdom? Okay. Well, again, Rivka, this is not saying that the child sees you light. The rabbi, Rav Huna in the Gemara, does not say that and Elaine, this is for you too. It doesn't say that the child is watching. So we have to focus in on just the parent. Meaning, let's say a parent has no children yet, but he's lighting. Evidently, this is still going to produce. Rav Huna didn't make a distinction whether you have children yet or not. But I'll put the question to you this way. What is the definition of Shabbos and a definition of Hanukkah? Because that's what Rav Huna says is going to produce children that are very wise. So you really have to look at is specifically, you know, defining Shabbos and defining Hanukkah. What is the definition of both of those days? It's true that we light candles on them, but the candles are part of the designation of the day. So there must be something specific to Hanukkah and specific to Shabbos. Because why doesn't Rav Huna, I'll ask you a good question, why doesn't Rav Huna say that you also have to light candles of the holiday? He doesn't mention holidays. He's talking only about Sabbath candles and Hanukkah candles. Ronnie is suggesting that I think everything is done gradually, so if you do the easier things first, then that might imbue the child with a desire to know the other aspects of Yiddishkeit and grow through it. Okay, but let's try to focus in on what the distinction is between, what the actual definition of the Sabbath is, and of Hanukkah. And Rivka is writing separation of the days of the week. Okay. You could say more about that, though. What is the whole distinction of Shabbos? What is the unique character of the Sabbath? And what's the unique character of Hanukkah? And And I see that Ben Noah in North Carolina and Deniti in Ontario, that you both signed on. If the audio is okay, just type in. Let us know. We had a little problem before. Hopefully that's been addressed. But it's good to see everybody today. But again, the question you should be focusing in on right now is, if Rav Huna is saying these two activities, and these two alone are responsible, and again, I don't know if he's saying that it's a surefire cure, that it's a surefire solution, but I think the way we have to understand Rav Huna's statement is that these things are essential to having wise children. Meaning without them, then you're lacking something very essential to producing sons that are wise. And again, I don't think it just applies to sons, because you teach your daughters as well. Okay, it's true, Elaine, that Shabbos was a gift from Hashem, but you're not defining what Shabbos is. There's many things that you can describe as a gift to Hashem. You have to be very refined in your thinking and really pinpoint what Shabbos is. Meaning to say, if you're going to define anything, that definition has to work for that thing and that thing alone. Then you have a real definition. Then you have really defined a phenomena. But if your definition could be applied to something else, like I could say that Yom Tov is also a gift from Hashem. So you really haven't hit the nail on the head in terms of singling out the unique and exclusive characteristic of Shabbos. That is what you have to be looking for right now. Because that's what Rav Huna says is one element, aside from Chanukah. And again, Tikva, the same thing applies to you. To say that there are appointed times, well, we know for a fact that there's many appointed times during the year. So that is not going to suffice in terms of defining exclusively what is Shabbos and what is Chanukah. Think about where we get the whole distinction of Shabbos from. Ben Noah is writing, he understands that Shabbos as ushering in a new week. Well, that doesn't distinguish what the day is in and of itself. What is the distinction of Shabbos? All right, so let me suggest to you what I'm thinking. I'll give you another minute or so. Think about the question. Again, you're trying to focus in on what exactly is the exclusive definition that will only apply to Sabbath, and the only definition that will apply only to Chanukah. Meaning, if I'm going to define, let's say, for example, an elephant. If somebody says, define for me what an elephant is, I can't say an elephant is an animal. Because that applies to everything, every creature. Okay, Ben Noah, it's true. You focus on Torah study, but you're not talking about its distinction. Now you're talking about what you do on the day of Sabbath. So again, going to the example, if I want to define what an elephant is, I can't just define it as an animal. I can't define it as a four-legged animal. I can't define it as a gray animal, because all those definitions will apply to other things. But if I start talking about its unique characteristics, that it's a mammal, so I've just narrowed it down. It's not an amphibian. It's not a fish, and it has it uses its trunk for a lot of its eating activities and bathing. Well, now I've really narrowed it down. There may be others, but you're looking for distinct characteristics that are shared with nothing else. Esther is suggesting that Shabbos is the day when man was created, the sixth day of creation. Well, he man was created on the sixth day, you're right, not on Shabbos. So you're defining the sixth day. Ronnie is suggesting, to elaborate on what I said earlier, the reason that you teach both the boys and girls to do it is that both engender curiosity and to grow, and the Judaism stresses the strong of the house, and the women have to light the candles. I don't see that as defining it. And again, don't be alarmed if you see on screen there's a censored in brackets. That's because we try to sometimes people will state things. There are some people that want to disrupt rooms on the internet, and we want to have a nice class in Torah study, and there are a few people that enjoy the fact of alarming others. So we have a certain code we put into this that no profanity can be used. But what happens is that even if that, let's say, few-letter word forms a part of a bigger word, even the bigger word, too, will be taken out. And there's not much we can do at that point about this. Tikva suggesting that the day when we're commanded to light the lights. Well, we have that in the holidays too, Tikva, so that wouldn't apply. Let me suggest to you this. What is the distinction of Shabbos? The whole distinction of Shabbos is the day when God ceased from creation. So Shabbos is really a day where we call back, every seventh day of every week, we call back and think about creation. This is such an important concept because our whole definition of God has to be synonymous with the creator of the universe. That is a primary element in our concept of God. If we don't have that concept of creation, that he is the creator, then we have a completely false concept of what God is. Right, for example, the Egyptians that had gods for everything, the god of the sun, the moon, fertility, wealth, god of the animals, they had gods for everything. They did have a concept of one overseeing God over all those. But their concept of individual gods for individual areas means to say that their area, their domain of kingship is limited. Some are only ruling the moon, some are only ruling the sun. That means that they have a completely corrupted idea of God. So again, Shabbos is something which calls to mind the whole creation. And the goal of Shabbos is really for us to think back and to permeate ourselves again and just to reiterate to our minds the concept that there is a creator. And that this God, there's also one that gave us the Torah, but primarily that there is a being that caused everything that we see to exist. This has to be our primary concept of God. And that includes all the laws of nature, not only the objects, not only the substances that he created, but also the laws, the governing rules. Okay? So that's what Shabbos is. Okay, Esther in New Jersey, correct. Keeping Shabbos is our way of recognizing the oneness of Hashem, meaning he alone is responsible for the entire universe. Okay, Ina is suggesting that Shabbos is to refrain from work and dedicate to learn. Exactly. And actually Maimonides says that it is an added plus on Shabbos if we involve ourselves in study of the creation. Okay, so now we understand what Shabbos is. If that's clear to everybody, just type in an okay. And now I'd like to propose what Hanukkah is, because now we understand Shabbos. So if that's clear to everybody, just type in an okay. And then I'd like to move on and now address Rav Huna's second point. How does he define Hanukkah? Okay, Lou, good to see you. Cain, nice to see you as well. Sally in Oregon, nice to see you joining us today. Lenny in Israel, nice to see you too. And just type in an okay if you got if you have the answer clear. Okay, Benoah in North Carolina. Nice to see you. Until next time. I'm glad you're able to join us. Okay, Esther, Tikva, MMA in Israel. Lou, thank you. Ronnie, okay. All right, so we all understand Shabbos. Now, see, what we did is we looked at Shabbos in terms of what is the whole definition of the day. It's celebrating creation. Now, and we also talked about creation as being not just the physical world, but there are laws that govern the physical world. All right? Now, what is Hanukkah? How would you define Hanukkah? Okay, Ina, thank you. Elaine, Bernie. Now, the question I'm putting to you is, well, that's not enough, Rav Huna says. Rav Huna says that in order to have wise children, you also must be careful with the mitzvah of Hanukkah. A surprising statement. I mean, what he's like, is he picking this out of the hat? Of course not. There has to be a precise definition to Hanukkah. And so think about that. Think about what Hanukkah is different from all of the holidays. Okay, so Lee is suggesting freedom. Tikva is suggesting recognition of the miracle of the oil and who provided the oil. Okay, so why would that? You'll have to explain to me now, how does that fit into Rav Huna's formulation? Explain to me how that's going to beget wise sons. Bernie is suggesting rededication. Okay, how does this beget wise sons? Again, it's the combination of both Shabbos and Chanukah, but before we get to the combination, we have to know each one individually. Okay, Lee, very good. You answered your own question. And again, we actually post these classes online on our audio files link on the Masora website. So this way, if you miss any part, or if you couldn't come to the class, then you'll be able to hear it. And so those of you who are listening to this in the recorded format, the reason why we have gaps is because what we do is we are doing this online, and we offer the questions to everybody who's joined us today and allow them to think about it. So, you know, we pause, but we can't stop the recording, so that's why you're going to hear some gaps in the conversation. So there's nothing wrong with the audio file, but this is just a brief note to those of you that are listening to this in its recorded form. And the truth is, when you're listening to it in its recorded form, that'll afford you the time to think about it as well. Because the primary goal of learning is that we think into the matter ourselves. That's the whole reason why the Torah is written so cryptically. Not just to give us the questions and answers without thinking. Thinking is our one mark of distinction. We have intelligence, not simply memory. I mean, if God just wanted us to follow what he says, he would give us memory, and that's all. We'd read something, we'd do it, we'd remember how to do it, and that's all. But he didn't do that. He gave us a system in which we have to think into the matter. And since it's God's wisdom, we'll be studying it our whole lives. So that's why, you know, we try to really encourage the thinking into the matter. So that's why the question is now, I think we've successfully defined the unique characteristic of Shabbos, but what is the unique characteristic of Hanukkah? We talked about this last week. I mean, Hanukkah, there was a war, and there were miracles, and it was instituted as a holiday. But the question we asked is, why wasn't every other war that had miracles also instituted as a holiday? How is Hanukkah set aside from the others? Okay, Lee, what you're writing, you're suggesting Hanukkah celebrates a miracle? Well, I mean, the other events in history when Joshua has prayed to God to stop the sun and the moon, I mean, what would be a greater miracle than that? Yet, we don't see any holiday that the rabbis instituted around that event, or any other war that Joshua had. So there has to be something more about Hanukkah. But you're not on the wrong track, Lee. You're on the right track, but you have to formulate what you're saying. Okay, Esther is suggesting as follows. Shabbos candle lighting, bris milah, Torah study were outlawed. We stood up to the mightiest army on earth, and by Shem's will we won. Well, how does that produce wise children? Ronnie is saying, on Shabbos we are supposed to observe the great miracle that Hashem did in creating the world through the 6 days of creation. Correct. On Hanukkah, it was a miracle that the oil lasted for 8 days and that the Hasmoneans defeated the Greeks. By teaching the children to look at these miracles, we teach the greatness of God and the holiness of Am Yisrael. Okay, what is, though, the specific element, though, Ronnie, on Hanukkah? Can't we do that? That aspect of teaching, what you're describing, that could refer to other holidays too. It's true that it's not the Greeks, and it's true that there were different wars, but I don't see you pinpointing something that is exclusive to Hanukkah. Okay, Lee, that would apply to Passover too, because you're writing this Hanukkah celebrates our freedom to serve God. That is primarily the distinction of Passover as well. Okay, let me suggest this. What is Hanukkah? Okay, Hanukkah was a miracle that provided was provided in the temple. Tikva's writing. All right, but let's just try to approach it this way. It's true that other miracles existed in other wars, and we don't see a holiday. So we had suggested last time that the miracle of Hanukkah was subsequent to the war. It was not necessary for the military victory. When the rabbi saw that God did a miracle after the war was won, and he created this miracle that the oil lasted 8 days, the rabbis understood this to be a divine indication that this day was different than all others. And it's true that they rededicated the temple as well, and they brought themselves back to God's service. But you could say that Hanukkah over other events, that the miracle is more pronounced than the other ones, because in other cases the miracle was for a different objective. It was for salvation. The miracles were done as a means of salvation. Here the miracle was not. It was purely a miracle that was not necessary, because the priests could have pressed new oil in 8 days, and since it was a state of coercion that they didn't have the oil because there was only one can left, so the Torah's principle is that if you're coerced, you are not responsible. So it wasn't that God was trying to facilitate the fulfillment of mitzvahs, because the Torah exempts you if you're in a coerced situation. So therefore, the miracle was not for any other purpose than that there should be miracle, that there should be this indication of something special about the day, and it could be the aspect of the rededication to the system. All right? But miracle does stand apart on Hanukkah as opposed to no other day, because it was subsequent to the war. It was not needed for any other objective. Now, based on that, miracle becomes a focus of the day of Hanukkah. Now, how does this fit in with Rav Huna's position that it's not enough that you are lighting the Shabbos candles to have wise sons, but you also have to be lighting the Hanukkah candles? So I think the idea is as follows. And let's just do a brief sound check, just to make sure that everybody's sound is coming through all right. So just type in an okay. Just let us know here that the sound is fine. Let's just take a moment. And then I'd like to suggest what I think the concept of Rav Huna is. Okay. See, I think the idea is like this. In order to have wise sons, there is primary knowledge that must be given to them. And we say, I believe it's in Proverbs, that the beginning of knowledge is fear of God. Meaning to say, if a person doesn't have the recognition that there is a being that is the source of all knowledge, then he may be arrogant and he won't open up his ears to listen because he knows it all. And there are many people like this, that because of their arrogance, they just can't learn. They feel they know it already. So therefore, fear of God has to be, it is a prerequisite for knowledge of God. But there are aspects to this knowledge of God. The first aspect we talked about, Rav Huna says, you have to be careful with the Sabbath lights. Why? Because the most primary concept we must have about God is that he is creator. That really gives us the correct notion of who we're referring to. This is why every morning we start off the prayers with the words Baruch She'amar V'Hoya Olam. Blessed be the one who spoke and the world came into existence. We have to remind ourselves every single morning when we start the prayers who we are praying to. Therefore, the first thing we say once we do all the initial blessings and we put on a tefillin and talis and say the brachas that come before, but the real davening, the real prayers, start off with the statement, blessed be the one who spoke and the world came into existence. That means every day we must reiterate the concept of God being the creator. So we remind ourselves who we are relating to. But that's not enough. We also have to know that not only did God create the world and create natural law, but there's also a concept that he can suspend the law. What's the word for suspension of law, of natural law? If you had to describe suspension of natural law with one word, what is that word? You tell me. Okay, Lee, Lou, Ronnie, MMA in Israel, thank you for Hat, Rivka. Ina, Elaine, thank you. Again, so what would be the one word that describes suspension of natural law? Okay, very good. Miracle. Exactly. That's Hanukkah. Hanukkah is something which highlights miracle. Therefore, we start to see the pieces of the puzzle falling together now. Rav Huna says, if you want to have wise sons, you must be careful with Shabbos lights and Hanukkah lights. But what does it mean if a person's careful with Shabbos lights and Hanukkah lights? It means they understand the nature of the day. It means that they see this day as so important that they are careful with the lights. Perhaps indicating that even a light activity, I mean, no pun intended, but a light activity of lighting candles, it's a very easy thing to do. But if you're so careful, even with that very, very simple activity of lighting a flame, which takes a split second to do, that shows how much you are dedicated to the day. That reflects the knowledge that you have of those 2 days. Meaning to say, I light the Shabbos candles every week. I am regular. Rav Huna's statement is, if you're regular, meaning you do it consistently, meaning to say that you have the right attitude towards Shabbos. You understand the distinction of the day. We are celebrating God's creation. But that's only one part of the puzzle. Not only did God make creation, but by definition, since he is the one that caused creation, which includes two things, the actual physical substance of creation, as well as the metaphysical laws that govern it. Meta in Greek means above. So metaphysical means above the physical, something which is not physical. So when the philosophers talk about something which is metaphysical, they're referring to things like the soul, ideas, thought, angels, things of that nature which are not of the physical world. So God created two things on the 6 days of creation, the physical substances and the laws, the metaphysical laws that govern what keeps a tree producing its leaves all the time. It's not the tree. The tree is something which is created. The tree has no power. It's the laws that God set up that govern the trees. The same thing with the human body. The same thing with every single natural law. Now, by definition, since God is the cause for natural law, he can step in when he chooses and suspend it. So we have to have that knowledge as well. That's what Hanukkah celebrates. Hanukkah celebrates the concept of the other facet of our knowledge of God. That is that not only is God creator, which is Sabbath, but God is also the one who suspends laws for the sake of mankind. That's Hanukkah. So if you are careful with these two ideas, that God is a creator as well, he also will, during our lives, suspend the laws of creation. Now we have a full picture of God. And those two ingredients are essential to having sons that are wise. Now you understand Rav Huna's enigmatic statement. On the surface, what does it mean? I do a simple activity of lighting candles, and that's going to produce wise children? What's the connection? But now we see the connection. The connection is that this reflects, if a person lights the Shabbos and Hanukkah lights regularly, this reflects the perfection that the person has. He has the right concept of the most primary area of knowledge that we all must have, and that is knowledge of God. Then, if you imbue that to your children, they too are going to have a thirst for knowledge, and they too are going to start their lives with the fear of God. And as King Solomon says, the beginning of knowledge is a fear of God. And the fear of God must be the correct, accurate knowledge of God. Okay, if that's clear, just type an OK on your screen, and let me just read what Lou just wrote. He's writing, wicks and oils that are not fit for burning Shabbos candles because they don't burn so well are nevertheless usable on Hanukkah. Okay, that's a tangent, Lou. Let's just hold off on that for a second. And again, if there's something we don't take up in class, just because I want to stay focused on the path in terms of what I've prepared to present, by all means, please email. Send an email to me through the site. I'd be more than happy to address it. Okay. All right. Okay, thank you, Esther. Okay, so now that should be clear. Now we understand why lighting candles on Shabbos and Hanukkah is going to produce children that are wise children, because it reflects the nature of the parent. All right, so if that's clear to everybody, just type an OK on your screen. I'd like to make sure that everybody heard the answer and it's clear to you. Okay, Elaine, thank you. Is it clear to everybody else? Does everybody else have the answer? All right, Elaine, Lou, Esther, Lee, Grady in Texas, Ina, Bernie in DC, thank you. Okay, Elaine, thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Okay, Tikva, thank you. Farhad, how is it? Sally, is the answer clear? Lou? Okay, Lou, thank you. Lenny, in Israel? MMA in Israel, is it clear? I just want to wait to make sure that everybody else has the answer clear. All right, so we see that it's a very, very nice insight. And we, again, just repeating what we said earlier, may have been before we had the disruption in the sound. But let's think about the actual verse that Rashi had quoted. We'll take this as the last point because I know it's midday for some of you. And we definitely have to get back to work. But let's just take a few more minutes and just to address Rashi. So Rashi stated that Rav Huna is basing himself on a verse from King Solomon. And the verse is, for a single command is equivalent to a flame, but Torah is equivalent to light. So he says that if you're careful with a single flame, then you'll have children that are lights. They're luminaries of Torah. So that's how he interprets it. That's like the midrashic type of a interpretation. And he's showing Rashi is trying to show that this concept is found in the written Torah. Take care, Lou. We'll see you soon. But let's think about one last idea. The concept of a single command being a flame is not exactly parallel to all the commands, meaning the whole Torah, being light. Really, it should have said a single command is equivalent to a flame. All the commands should be equivalent to a torch. I mean, we should keep the parallel. If we're talking about one flame for one command, so a lot of commands should be a lot of flames. But he doesn't say that. He says a lot of commands, all the commands of the Torah, is a light. Meaning the product of light, which is it's a slight deviation from the first part of the parallel. Again, if I'm going to equate a single command with a flame, I should equate many commands with many flames. But we see that, no, King Solomon says, many commands are not only many flames, but now it produces light, meaning it gives a person his mind is completely illuminated. He's walking in brightness his whole life. So that means to say that you can't even equate the two. One command, of course, is from God and it's important. But you can't equate one flame, meaning one command, to keep the entire system. Because when you keep the entire system, it has a qualitatively different effect. It's not only a sum of its parts anymore, but now it affords you a new element. And that new element is a real insight into the whole operation of the universe and what God's purpose is for man. So that's why it's light. It's something which gives you a full appreciation. It illuminates everything. Nothing is left covered. Nothing is left concealed. So we see just with a few words of King Solomon, who is spoken of as the wisest man, and the rabbis dispute whether he was wiser than Moses in certain areas or not. But if he's saying something, we really have to think into his words, and we have to be very exact. So that's why we see something even from his own formulation. Okay, so that's all I really plan to. We could go longer, but that I know that it's midday, and we're trying to accommodate everybody. So if there's any questions, we'll take them now, either on what we did, or you know, it could be a question on another topic if I'm able to address it. We'll take a few more moments now if there's any other questions, and you know, try to use this forum in a way where instead of emailing in and maybe waiting to get an email back, you can ask something and you can have it addressed right away. So if there's any questions, feel free to type it in now, whether it's on what we discussed today or on another topic. But in either case, if you have this last point clear, just type in and okay, let me know that if I've made the point clearly. So if there's any questions, feel free to type them in. Any questions on this? Okay, Esther, thank you. Okay, in New York, thank you for that nice comment. Also, I'll add that last entry on screen, very cleverly worded. But that's plagiarism. You're using the joke I made earlier. Okay. Okay, so are there any questions on what we discussed? If not, if it's clear, just type in okay. Ronnie, you'll look at the schedule. When you first go to the live classes page, you'll see a schedule that we update. The next class we're planning will be 1:30 Sunday. All right, 1:30 p.m. New York time on this Sunday. Okay, Elaine, my pleasure. All right, Ronnie, so that'll be this coming Sunday, 1:30 p.m. New York time will be the next class. And what we're going to do is go further in this section in the Gemara and actually start going into the where the quote is from in Proverbs. If you want to take a look, in the meantime, it's Proverbs 6, chapter 6, and it's verses 20 through 23. Okay, Ronnie. Grady, my pleasure. I'm glad you could join. And Sunday we'll usually go for about an hour, maybe even an hour and a half. We're just doing a little bit shorter midday, just the way, you know, it's not a big break in the day. And again, we do it at this time, so this way people on the West Coast and people in Europe and Israel can join us as well. My pleasure, Ina. Regards to the family, Ina. Okay, it looks like there's no questions, so we're going to end the class now, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody 1:30 on Sunday. So I wish everybody a good day, and we'll see you then. Have a good day to everybody.